Welcome to the Well One Connection, a podcast from Huron Regional Medical Center. The right care is right here.
We are welcoming Ashley Curnow, registered dietitian, to the Well One Connection podcast for the very first time ever. Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks, Maddie.
So you recently joined us as an inpatient dietitian here at HRMC.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so that we know you have been a dietitian in the community and that you have another role that you're very passionate about and you're helping others in the community. So tell us, you know, about yourself a little bit. What are you currently doing in addition to coming in and doing inpatient nutrition with us? And how'd you get there?
Yeah, so like Maddie said, my name is Ashley Curnow. I'm a registered dietitian and I work outside of HRMC as well with my own practice, Intentional Living, where I see outpatients there. I've always been from Huron, so it was very high on my list to come back to the community, enhance the health and wellness there. And so I've actually been working here for about 4 years. I'm about 4 years out of college. And so my own kind of health history led me to this path. I believe very strongly that, you know, everything happens for a reason. So everything that I experienced through life, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, through my health, it all happened so that I could transition that and help other people. And so I learned very early on that the role nutrition plays in our health and wellness, and felt very strongly from the very beginning that's how I wanted to touch people and make their lives better.
So that leads me to, because I just read the recent Pray Tracks the last month, and I think I had known, I'd heard a little bit that you had a story about where you are. So maybe a lot of people read that. Hopefully everyone did, because Pray Tracks is great. But can you just tell us about that story and how you came to find the real root of that importance in nutrition?
Definitely go read the Pray Tracks if you didn't read it. That gives you a little bit of a better, concise version of it all. Of course, even though it's somewhat long, it's still the short version. But yeah, I was born appearing fairly normal up to that point. My mom had a very unique pregnancy, experienced a lot of sicknesses. She had actually had to use a PICC line and a feeding tube herself just because of her significance through the pregnancy. But as soon as I was born, I wasn't able to digest anything. I wasn't gaining weight. I'd become violently ill anytime I was fed, whether it was breast milk, formula, you name it. And then, of course, as any provider would know, it's very important for a baby to gain weight, which I was not. I was in and out of hospitals for pretty much 2 years, more time in than out, missing most holidays, most birthdays. All that was spent in the hospital, until eventually they came to find out that I was quote unquote allergic to protein. So I couldn't break down that macronutrient that's in virtually all foods. And my parents at the time thought that was great. They knew it was wrong. They could fix it. But unfortunately, the detrimental news came that there was no cure for it. And they remember being told that in a world of obesity, your child's going to starve to death. And there was nothing they could do. Pretty much on the day that they had decided to bring me home and that to let me be comfortable at home, a general surgeon, and this took place at University of Minnesota Children's Hospital. So that day, the general surgeon came in and requested to be my primary care. And that went against the rules of the hospital, because at that hospital, and maybe it's the same everywhere, a general surgeon could not be a primary care. So they fought it, and they had about 6 hours, because my dad was driving from Huron to Minneapolis. And within that time, the board of the hospital approved it and said that would be fine. For the remaining 6 hours, he could be the primary care. And he took me to an OR and put an NJ tube into my nose that traveled very far into my intestines to bypass as much of it as possible. And they felt they could construct a formula in the pharmacy there that I could tolerate enough to get by. And miraculously, it worked. So I relied on that feeding tube for 10 years. When I was in fourth grade, I had it taken out for the last time and never had it put back in.
Yay. And at that moment in your life, obviously you're 10 years old. Obviously had spent lots of time in hospitals. So did you already have an interest in some sort of nutrition or healthcare or helping people? What is that when you knew?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I give everybody grace. Like, you don't have to know what you want to do for the rest of your life at any time, especially like even when you're 18. But I knew from that point for sure, like, that I wanted to be a dietitian, which is not like a super popular field I've grown to learn. So it's odd that like at 10, 11, 12, I wanted to be a dietitian. But no, I knew from like day one, that's what I wanted to be. And it never wavered on it. So I'm very blessed too, that I knew exactly what I wanted to do and that I wanted to help people through the same role that people had helped me.
Great. And then on through school and college, you participated in athletics.
Yep.
And then you went through school and came back to Huron. So back in town, what did you come back for?
My family's here. Like, I have a fantastic family, immediate and extended. Everyone's here. I can't even think of anybody that's not within the 25-mile radius, pretty much. So I had strong ties. And like the community, like I almost take some, I think everybody should, but take some type of ownership of like our community. Like it's the community, but it's my community. Like it's mine. And I wanted to come back to it, but then also have a role of changing it and impacting it. So I came back and already reached out to the organization of which I work at to set up some type of a position. And we had no idea what it would hold. It wasn't really they weren't hiring for this position. And so we just let it become what it's became. At that time, I hadn't finished my dietetics degree. I had my biology degree, but not my dietetics degree finished quite yet. I was doing that online. And so as my schooling wrapped up, that position just grew to even more ownership, but then provided me with more avenue to enhance the health and wellness of the community, be more involved in different organizations, now like HRMC, and even other service groups that I could hopefully touch more people and help make the community healthier, happier, and ultimately too more attractive. Like I want it to be something that like somebody my age in their mid-20s is driving through and says, man, I could see myself living here.
Yes, that is awesome. So you're currently at Clark Chiropractic Clinic, Intentional Living Center, and you are seeing patients for functional medicine, right?
Correct.
And also for nutrition from an outpatient realm. What does nutrition counseling or a nutrition appointment look like?
Yeah, so that's a great question because I think especially if you're coming from being an inpatient to then an outpatient, it's some questioning of what that could be. In an outpatient world, basically, we're going to be able to spend more time together, more face-to-face time, sitting across the table, establishing your history, what your patterns already are, and then that way constructing a plan moving forward. That's not going to be cookie cutter. It's not going to be the same plan I've given out 10 times today, but it's going to fit and adhere to what your lifestyle already is. Then just because of my personal approach to medicine, I do sometimes take it a little bit further. Now, that doesn't mean that every patient is going to go down the same path, but I like to at least provide that to everybody that maybe there's more of a reason why you're in the position that you are in. And just using a really maybe simpler example, which is still not simple, but let's say diabetes. Certainly, absolutely. Come in, we're going to get nutrition counseling done for diabetes. But maybe we need to start questioning, like, beyond that, why do you even have diabetes? Is it more than just the dietary habits you've had? Are there other things that have played a factor? Your genetics, how can we improve that so that not only can we help your A1C go from a 9 to a 7, but can we also help other things along the way?
Okay, so you mentioned a diabetic education or diabetic consult. Mm-hmm. What are other reasons? Maybe I haven't even been an inpatient, or maybe I have. What are some other reasons or some things that you see people on an outpatient basis for nutrition counseling or for those outpatient appointments?
Yeah. So I really wanted to make sure that I had mentioned that like nutrition or being a dietitian is so beyond diabetes. That is exactly what people, they just associate with diabetes. And I would say less than 25% of my practice is diabetes. It probably should be more because more people with diabetes should receive some education. But honestly, it's anywhere between more diet-focused things like cholesterol, blood pressure, ranging all the way to infertility issues. So anybody can benefit from digging into their diet and figuring out how what they're eating is maybe hurting them or how there's other things that we could increase that would help them. Hormones, infertility, all of that is passion projects of myself, but then also allergies, skin issues, immune system deficiencies, all of those things are things that inflammation, chronic pain, especially chronic pain. We see a lot of chronic pain people because, as anyone with chronic pain will know, it's chronic. They're living with it every day. So while we might not be able to take it away, can we enhance what they're eating so that it makes it less? Mm-hmm. So there's so many reasons why somebody could benefit from just learning more about what they eat and how it impacts their body.
From an insurance standpoint or a cover standpoint, some mm-hmm. of those things are covered by our insurance and some are not, right?
Yes.
So that's probably usually on an outpatient basis best discussed with you in advance so that they're aware of that. But can people talk to their primary care docs about that too, about what would nutrition education or an appointment with a dietitian do for me? That's something mm-hmm. they could ask their primary care doc, right?
Absolutely. So have the conversation with your primary care provider. Everybody wants the same thing. They want you to feel better, be better, have improvements, whatever that might look like. It's different for everybody. So ask them if they feel that you would benefit from it. You can ask them if they have any insight about coverage. Their nursing staff might be able to provide some education on that. And then, of course, you can get connected with me directly. to ask and inquire, and we can do our best to find out, one, if it's even going to be something that's billable to your insurance, two, if it's going to be something that we feel is going to be something your insurance is going to pay on.
Sure. So that's so much of that outpatient side, which is not always a side we really think about or talk about when we're in the hospital. So what is it that made you say, hey, I think I want to help inpatients as well? Because you're in the outpatient realm. We have people sometimes that are very ill that are in the hospital and they need to have that dietetic care as well. And then there's just a whole other layer of that in a hospital. Mm-hmm. So what spurred your interest in that?
Yeah. So like I mentioned previously, the community, like I like taking the ownership of saying it's my community. I want to help enhance that. And so obviously healthcare is a huge portion of our community. And so I felt as though I had a lot of experience in the outpatient working with people in that realm, but a lot of those people that I would see were maybe previously already inpatients, like they had been admitted to the hospital, whether that was a referral that their provider was making contingency to leave in the hospital type thing, or if they were seeking it on their own. But I felt as though a lot of them I was seeing were already in the hospital. Maybe if I could get to them sooner, maybe if I could provide other insight while they were there to help them along their inpatient journey, and then also hopefully as they get out of there as well. And then HRMC is a huge organization within our community. If I'm looking at that feeling as though my purpose in life is to help people and to care for people and to improve the lives of others, coming to an organization that would allow me to do that with more people is exactly where I should look. And then, like I said, bridging a gap in our community so that we can help different ethnicities, different cultures, all of that. You see a lot of that with the inpatient world. And so I just felt like that would be an area that I could tap into, apply my resources, and also learn some things as I go too.
Yeah, that's gonna be really interesting. We have some pretty predominant cultures and ethnicities in our community. So I'm sure you've had to do a lot of research on those specific diets in those communities. So how does that, maybe that doesn't translate, but not only are you going to be helping the inpatients, but you actually work with our food service department, which is Unidyne. So they manage our food service. So are you also somehow going to have a piece in what I'm a staff member. So what I get in the cafeteria here, what our visitors might expect, or people who want to just come in for lunch. How do you work with our food service department?
So our food service department is great. They're fantastic. They're very passionate about nourishing our patients, as well as all of the souls that kind of come through the cafeteria, whether they are staff members or they are community members. And I know that Jay brings a lot of passion and knowledge to the kitchen, passion from all of the other areas that he has tapped into prior to ending up at Unidyne and ending up in Huron. But he has a lot of passion for the recipes and the ingredients that he uses. And I know through just a few conversations with him, he would really love to expand some of the things that we can offer, not only to the patients working on a culture perspective, but also which would then trickle down to anybody else that passes through the cafeteria. I'm very blessed that I'll get to work with them to optimize the menus, hopefully make some changes that we both agree on that they want to see and that we want to see, and then taking the insight of the staff as well and hopefully enhance those things as we go. So I will get to work with them, and I definitely look forward to enhancing that as we go too.
Yeah, I'm excited too about that cultural aspect, because when you live and work in a community that has such a diverse culture, how cool is it to be able to experience some of their food choices as well that we should all be experiencing each other's? So that's a very exciting thing for us.
Right. And we're in the hospital, and usually if you're in the hospital, you're not feeling well. And if you are of a different culture, what's the chicken noodle soup equivalent to what they feed, what you would typically grow up eating?
Right.
So let's figure that out and feed you that while you're here too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because obviously we know that food is that's nourishing and healing.
Correct.
So, yes. And the rest of us that are around just get to reap the benefits from that, which is awesome. Ashley, we so appreciate you being here and chatting with us today. We are going to end part one of our podcast, but please check back because we're going to do part two with Ashley because it is Heart Month.
Thanks for listening to the Well One Connection. This podcast is informational only and not intended to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. Huron Regional Medical Center, online at huronregional.org.